Thanks, Tim. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day, as Tim said. He shared a good perspective. I think it can be a wonderful thing, Happy Mother's Day. You know, we're going to celebrate it today, and yet it can be a painful experience. Some of us have lost our mothers or had experiences. I was sent a blog. I'm not a blogger, but I was sent this blog, and I went to it, and I read, and I want to share some of it. I think it's really insightful. Sometimes when we're celebrating, we're upbeat, we need to be sensitive, merciful. It said, "To those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experience loss through failed adoptions or runaway, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointment, we walk with you. To those who foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of their own mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who lived through driving tests, medical tests, and overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way you long for it to be. To those who step-parent, we walk with you on these complex paths. To those who envisioned lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream is not to be, we grieve with you. To those who have emptier nests in the upcoming year, we grieve and rejoice with you." It's a mixed blessing, mixed feelings, I should say. Mother's Day can be fun and exciting, and yet it can be painful. And so we want to be sensitive. I've entitled the message today, "The Godly Woman." And it's not just for mothers, it's not just for women even. There's things that each one of us can learn from this today. I read a couple things about mothers. It says, "Motherhood is a lifetime task that we want to show honor for today, to honor our mothers and grandmothers and the mothers of our children. It is a day for greetings, a day for expressing love, and a day for remembering," as Tim mentioned. One mother said, "The joy of motherhood is what a woman experiences when all the children are finally in bed." And a mother talking to an old college friend said, "Remember, before I was married, I had three theories about raising children. Now I have three children and no theories." Today is a celebration. God celebrates and loves mothers and women. And the Bible talks a lot about women and the blessing that they are. And I just want to extend an appreciation to all the women who work in the midst of this church. In downstairs now, we have hard working in nursery, King's Kids, Asimeros, up here on the music team. The list goes on and on. And we need each one of you. And I just want to thank you for the selfless work of our good and godly women. Let's pray and we'll jump into this message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for each person here, but especially for the women today. We're focusing on godly women, Lord. It's your desire that we would be godly men and women. Lord, give us your perspective. Give us your appreciation. And Lord, may we learn from you today from God's word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Old Testament, Book of Ruth, Tim read one verse from there. It's only 4 chapters long. I encourage you to read it. It's a love story about Ruth and how she had been in Moab, which is just east of the Jordan, east of Judea. And she had traveled there. There were some tough times in at her home place, she was in Moab, and family traveled over there. She got married, but then the dad and the two brothers died, and Naomi, the stepmother, she said, "I'm going back. I hear times are better. God is blessing Judea. I think it's time for me to go back." And then she was encouraging her daughters to stay in your home country, stay with your mom and your friends. And that's when Ruth said, "No, I'm going with you. I'm going to continue with you. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." She took a stand. Ruth became part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. God blessed her for her stand that day. In Genesis 2, when God created woman, he was creating a completer. Man needed, some would say, a better half. He needed to be completed. But later, when they sinned, she became a competitor. The curse was on. It said in Genesis, her desire was for her husband. But really, what that means is she wanted to compete. She wanted to kind of run the show a little bit. And that's not good. And neither is it good for man to run the show completely. There's a balance there that God desires for us to have in marriage. I read this quote this week. "The woman came from the man's rib, not from his feet to be walked on, not from his head to be superior, but from the side to be equal, under the arm to be protected, and next to the heart to be loved." And I think that's just about right. God's heart is clearly seen in Scripture. Proverbs 31 is so well written. It talks about a wife of noble character. But I think it can be used, can be applicable to all women. And I'm going to read from Psalm 31, and I want you to see that perspective, that it's for you. And so I might add a word or two, because it says wife, but I want you to understand it's for women as well. "Who can find a virtuous or capable wife, woman? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, she can be trusted. And she will greatly enrich his life, or the lives around her she will enrich. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it." Now, I've never done that before. It sounds very hard. "She is like a merchant ship, bringing her food from afar." That sounds hard too. "She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work. She goes to inspect a field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. She's cared for everyone. She makes her own bedspreads. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instruction with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. Others bless her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all." Why would it say that? "You surpass them all." The next verse or two, it says, charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. I think that's the key. A woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. That is so good. Psalm 31, there's so much in there. I want you to soak that in. If you're feeling down at all, read some of that and say, that's for me. That is for you. Guys, sorry that we don't have a chapter like that. So we've got other good words, but the women really get blessed with this one. Women, ladies, young ladies, moms, grandma, grandmothers, single or married, this is for you. Grab hold of that. That's the Heavenly Father's heart for you. In Titus 2, we can see some of the goals that God has for women, godly women, expectations. It says, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. Now, all too often, I'll look at that and I'll think, okay, that's for the old women. No, it doesn't say old women. It says older women. Okay, we've got some young women in here. Myrna's young. Savannah's young. Mara's young. We've got lots of young women in here. And we've got women that are just a little bit older. That's who it's talking about. The older women. Teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children and to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to be good, to be submissive to their husbands. That's a big challenge. Most of you are older women because you're not the youngest ones. And that's a challenge there in Titus chapter 2. Shining for Christ, being a good example, having Christ-likeness be evident in your life. How are you spending your time? Not with idle gossip, whether it's talking to somebody or texting or phone conversation or what else? Email, Facebook. The greatest importance to the godly woman begins with worship. Showing up here on Sunday is an act of worship. When we sing to God, it's worship. That is the primary importance. There's many examples in Scripture. We see Timothy's mother and grandmother worshiping Christ in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And Hannah in 1 Samuel 1, how she worshiped the Lord. And Anna, in Luke 2, it talks about her worshiping day and night, continually. It's of primary importance for the godly woman to be a worshiper. And that implies a relationship. Being able to communicate closely with God because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Otherwise, it's in vain. You need to have that relationship. Number two, she must be a worker. In Romans 16:1, it talks about Phoebe. She was called a servant of the church. And what a blessing that can be. People can see you acting out your life of servanthood. Not only in the church, but in the community. We need to shine for Christ as we have a life of worship, but also of servanthood. People are watching you. And they maybe know that you go to this church. You are a shining light for God because of your work in the church and in the community. And I'm very grateful. We need the servanthood that we have here, men and women. And it's evident each time we have an activity or an event, many hands make light work, and I'm thankful for the actions and the servanthood to the Lord. Number three, the godly woman must be a witness, not only in servanthood, but in sharing. It says in 1 Peter 3 that the godly woman can even get her husband saved. So if you can do that, you can save the neighbor, you can save your friends at work. You need to be a witness. You need to share your testimony. That's a big challenge. It's hard for all of us. You know, as we go out and evangelize, whether it's with the youth or in the community here, it can be challenging. I encountered a gentleman a couple years ago at the fairgrounds and started sharing a little bit about God, and next thing I know, he was running out the door of the barn and over past the dairy line, and I never saw him again. It's not easy, but it's important. Now, maybe a seed was planted. Maybe something will come of that. Maybe next time he'll say, I need to listen. We need to be a witness. The godly woman must be a warrior. Now, you maybe wouldn't have expected that word. Why warrior? We have many teams within this church family. And one of the teams is a prayer team. And I like to call it the prayer warriors. Because it's a spiritual battle. We're warring against Satan. And we need all of our prayer warriors. In Acts, in 1 Corinthians, it talks about women engaging in the business of prayer. Being prayer warriors, being examples. And they prayed, and they saw answers to their prayers. Women can be powerful prayer warriors. They have a little different perspective at times than the men do. And they have a sensitivity that we might be lacking. We need your prayers. And finally, the godly woman must be a window. A window that people can see your example. They can see your life. In 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul describes the faith of Timothy's mother and grandmother. And it was important that they could see them as a window. They could see God's glory through that window. What do people see through your window? Do they see God's glory? Do they see hard work, commitment, love for one another? Do they see the results of God's amazing love in your life and mercy and saving grace? It's a big thing, being a window, being exposed to others to see your life. But I think it's very important. And God might say it's one of the more important things, to be a shining example. So I want to encourage you today to live a strong life. Not only be a worshiper and a hard worker, and being an example, and a witness, and a warrior, but to be a window. Be a window that people can see God's glory. And they can appreciate what they see. Each one of you, women, in this church is vital and important and a blessing. And I want you to grab hold of that and not forget that. And be an example of a good and godly woman for the rest. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, for women who claim to be devoted to God should make themselves attracted by the good things they do. Don't be attractive by what you put on. Be attractive by what you do. Proverbs 23 says, do not despise your mother when she is old. It's a good thing. It's a blessing. How many of you are glad that you're older and wiser? It's a good thing. You need to grab hold of that. To live as Christ, to die as gain. We're getting closer to that gain. Let your father and mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Proverbs 23. Do not forsake the teaching of your mother. It will be a wreath of grace to your head and a crown of joy upon hers. It is such a blessing to have so much good said about you. And we go through some tough times. I want you to grab hold of Scripture and take it as your own. Wear it and be a window to show others God's glory. Let's pray as the music team comes up. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word, the wisdom in your word. Lord, help us to grab hold of it and realize it's for us. That you love us, Lord, and you want to bless us and you want to guide us. Help us to see that. Help us to see that we are your children and you desire the best for us. Lord, as we go from here today, may you bless our day and our week ahead. And may each one of us who has salvation, the saving grace of Jesus Christ, may we be a window. May we be a shining light for you, and that others would see God's glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.